everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the show. And Tom, just as you called it, there has been a little change in the weather, and hopefully that horrible air, all that smoke from California, will blow away.
This mixing of this low-pressure system air coming in is supposed to do that. But if it blows enough, we may have another problem, maybe some dust in the air.
Well,
so, you know,
I'll take it, actually, over the smoke. Anyway, it is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things. I need to get some new geraniums. Even with the rain, geraniums are more of kind of a fall, winter, spring situation, and Green Things would be the place to go for that. It is Friday, September the 17th, 2021. We are on 1030, Tucson's trusted source for news talk. The call letters are KVOI. We're in our 11th year. Our anniversary for 11 full years will be January 4th of next year. Not that far away. Worldwide live listening of the Buckmaster Show and the complete podcast archive available on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we have pretty much every show I have done over that period. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Friday, we do a big shout out, a salute to our media friends, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group. Their portfolio includes Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. We welcome back to the studio Sarah Garrett Gasson, opinion page writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, good to see you in person again.
Yes, it has been far too long.
Far too long. The 18-month anniversary of when all of the pandemic began. Fletcher McCusker with us in studio, our Friday Focus interview. Fletcher is chair of the Rio Nuevo District Downtown Tucson Revitalization Board, Rio Nuevo. And I always like to, Fletcher, I go through this, it takes about 30 seconds, but I think it's worth saying what Rio Nuevo is. It is a tax increment finance district known as a TIF that is funded by a share of state sales tax dollars and held accountable to the state legislature for use of the funds. And in 1999, voters approved the creation of the district that allows the TIF funds to be reinvested in the community to create a dynamic city center. Has it done that?
In the last 8 years,
by the way,
we've
good
done
to
that
see you.
In spades. Thank you. I was going to mention to you, we've got a spot for you on the board. You've become quite knowledgeable, you know.
Hey, I've got it all here. I saw you in April the last time you were on the program, and this is the 18-month anniversary of when things went south with the pandemic. So where are we now?
Well, as you said in your introduction, we're a sales tax TIF. So we actually get 50% of the sales tax within the Rio Nuevo geography. And that's a dog bone, Bill, that goes from A Mountain through downtown all the way down Broadway to Park Mall, Park Place Mall. So we were earning about $2 million a month in February of 2019. That dropped to zero.
What?
Zero. During the COVID months. We're back up to about $1.5 million now. But there was if you had asked me a year ago, I couldn't tell you for sure that Rio Nuevo would survive.
Are you kidding? It was that touch and go?
Yeah, because, you know, we have debt service, we have overhead, and the only good news of this was we kind of deferred everything, and we were able to build our reserves. And then a funny thing happened on the way to bankruptcy. Tucson is the go-to spot post-COVID.
Yeah, how did that happen?
World is looking at us now.
Why? Why is Tucson such
I think it's geographic. Mm-hmm. It's because we're dispersed. The universities become even more available. We have tech jobs. Weather, you know, if you look at what's going on everywhere in the country. So we see a lot of inbound interest from hotel developers, apartment builders, companies that want to relocate, remote workers that we've never seen before in the history of Tucson.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson.
Are they approaching Tucson, you know, these companies, or is the marketing of Tucson what's driving this?
Some of both. Most of it's unsolicited. They're looking at cities like us in Boise and Boulder and, you know, kind of the new Austin and new Portlands who are interested in attracting millennial kind of tech-savvy population. Visit Tucson's doing a remarkable job promoting Tucson as a post-pandemic environment. And I think the state, just the general interest in moving to Arizona, I think I read last week where Phoenix is the fastest growing city in the current census. So all that seems to be benefiting us right now. And knock on wood, you know, we're almost back to where we were revenue-wise.
When you moved the, when you were head of Providence Service Corporation, you moved the headquarters downtown. A lot of people credit that as kind of one of the spearheading things that moved downtown back to a revitalization period. But companies, headquarters are going to be different and are different now, aren't they, as far as office space?
We had a 20-story tower slated for right across the street from my old office, and that's disintegrated because of the ambivalence about how people are going to use office space in the future.
There was a 20-story tower.
20-story tower. It was approved. It was moving. If you went by that, you saw this right across from TEP. The fences were up. The ground was graded. You know, it was slated for a ribbon cutting. And the lenders pulled out because they're ambivalent about how an office environment's going to work post-COVID when so many people are remote. And even if you have an office, you don't use it the way you used to. So I think we're going to wait and see. What's replaced that is residential. You know, we have huge residential construction and demand, and we have some restaurant, food, and beverage excitement again that we haven't seen, you know, since COVID started.
But you've got an office building downtown. What is it? One South Church, the tower.
Right.
What's the occupancy like there?
Well, that's just half of that's going to be a 5-star hotel. So that's the kind of things that have happened to us. So a company out of Phoenix called Op West that has developed all the Montage properties, high-end hotel,
has
acquired the bottom 10 floors of One South Church and are converting it to a 5-star hotel. The Plaza will become all food, beverage, restaurant, and an outdoor bar. Hmm. So they've reduced the office space to half, and you know they'll probably modernize and lease up the rest of that. But the hotel demand is we've never seen more interest. Of course, the DoubleTree opened, the Hilton's now opened just 2 weeks ago, and we see the Hyatt in town, the Marriott's committed to another property. You know, so downtown's buzzing again.
Hmm. Sarah, you worked at home. A lot of the star people most of them.
Yeah, I still am.
But you know, you miss people.
Yes, you do.
I mean, not that you're not going to have people interfacing on a screen, but I mean, in-person people.
Yes, yeah. I think I enjoy working from home, but part of that is because I can have my dog with me, which you don't get more dogs at home than in the office. But yeah, there is something to be said for being in an environment that I think we probably didn't appreciate nearly enough until it was gone. Just being around people, ideas, talking, sociability. I think that's a real change.
But the workforce of the future could be maybe coming in once a week and then a shared office area.
We're seeing that. We're seeing people alternate. Half of the staff come Monday, Wednesday, the other half Tuesday, Thursday. There's nobody in the office on Friday. You're seeing that with a lot of big companies. And even the Googles now that thought they would stay remote forever are starting to invite people back. But they're giving them the option to come back. If you don't come back, you lose your office. Hmm. So you don't get it both ways. You either commit to come back or you can stay remote. But if you're remote, you're not going to have an office here. And I think that's what's led to this ambivalence about how emerging markets like Tucson are going to deal with office demand.
Do you think, a year down the line, is there any way to forecast what office space in the downtown in the Rio Nuevo area is going to look like?
Well, we may run out of space if the residential demand continues. I think you're going to see residential developers move in and replace what otherwise might have been primary employment. We've got a half a dozen residential developers looking at vacant parcels or air rights because of the success of these new apartments that have come up in downtown. And there still seems to be, even post-COVID, a real demand for an urban kind of lifestyle. So the risk is that some of those vacant parcels that might have otherwise gone office may more likely end up going residential.
What's this with the film development? This was something came out of your most recent movie about film and TV producers making downtown Tucson available to them.
We've stipend two network series now. They'll be announced when they're announced by the networks. But we decided Tucson was so hot as a destination, we thought it might be interesting to Hollywood. Typically, people fly over us, as you know, to go to New Mexico because the incentives are so great. And what we did was work with the county and the city and visit Tucson and Rio Nuevo to see if we could package together some incentives that would attract a series that might otherwise go to New Mexico. Mm-hmm. We've been successful now twice doing that. Rio Nuevo is allowed to use those kind of incentives because we are a TIF. So the trade-off is come downtown, stay in our hotels, base downtown, film downtown, and we'll help you financially.
New Mexico film industry is just booming. Their most recent big production is Cry Macho with Clint Eastwood. And that was filmed up in the Santa Fe area, and they're just getting big movie after big movie over there.
They will give you a third of your sales tax back. So if you're doing a third of your budget back, if you're doing
that much,
if you do a $50 million film, the state will give you $15 to $18 million of incentives to come to New Mexico. We'll never do that, but we do know incentives matter, and if we can help them defray some costs, if we can find cheaper production capabilities, if we'll give them discounted hotel rates, all those things we're doing, we've attracted two network series to Tucson.
Are these big companies?
You'll know the names. Yeah.
Okay. Sarah, how about another question before we talk about Mona's Danish Bakery? You can set the table for us.
Yes. Well, with food and beverage.
There you go.
Downtown.
Perfect segue.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Our restaurants, I know that we have a lot of new restaurants coming in, some restaurants that didn't make it through the pandemic. What's the restaurant scene looking like now, and what do you predict?
A year ago, I was really worried. Llanos closed, Cafe Poca Cosa closed, Cafe Milano closed, the Diablo Burger closed. You could just see the dominoes turning. But for every one of those restaurants that closed, three or four or five others have expressed interest in their space. And you're seeing a new breed of restaurateur. The Parish took over Llanos' old space and are opening up a Cajun restaurant called Delta. They have a new user for Cafe Poca Cosa. Cafe Milano's been taken over by an Italian family that moved here from D.C. So all of the restaurants that were closed will be reactivated. And we're also trying to focus on outdoor dining. If you've driven downtown lately, almost everybody now has a sidewalk cafe. And we didn't think anybody would sit out there in the summer, but I'm shocked at the people that choose to eat outdoors. Some of it's pandemic related, for sure, but people really seem to appreciate these new So Rio Nuevo is funding any restaurant that wants a sidewalk cafe. We'll pay for that. And it's attracting people to downtown and to outdoor dining.
Tom, put your headset on there because I'm going to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, and I want you to join in the conversation because you came up with this slogan. What is the slogan that you came up with, Tom Fairbanks, for the home of the Danish Kringle?
The Kringle, the light and tasty multi-layered pastry.
Go. You win the prize. That is perfect.
A lifetime supply of Kringles?
Yeah,
I'll take it.
It's about time I brought a Kringle in here on a Friday, I think. I need a Kringle fix. The Kringles come in a variety of flavors. Fletcher, you like bakery goods. I know you've lost a lot of weight. You lost a lot of weight, but
I'm salivating just from.
Yeah,
Tom,
I know you've got a sweet. You still got the sweet tooth, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
There you go. And Sarah, you love bakery goods.
I do indeed.
Yeah, we were doing kind of we were asking the guests here if they could have one of the beautiful butter croissants. I was saying, what would you go for right now? Would you go for just the plain croissant, the dark chocolate, that baker's chocolate croissant, or an almond croissant? What would be your choice right now, Sarah?
Probably the almond.
You would go with almond.
And chocolate, yeah.
I thought you were going to say the chocolate, because that would be my choice right now. Open for lunch. They're open for lunch right now, but of course, you can still get breakfast. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. More with Fletcher McCusker and Sarah Garrett-Gasson of The Star right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
All right, Buckmaster on a Friday. Fletcher McCusker is here. He's chairman of the Rio Nuevo District Downtown Tucson Revitalization Board. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here, opinion page editor of the Arizona Daily Star, also columnist at the Star. Fletcher McCusker is the Arizona Business Leader of the Year. He received that award last year. And we haven't talked in the first segment yet, Fletcher, about your latest venture, which was going great guns, UA Ventures. It's a venture capital fund designed to commercialize University of Arizona science, technology, services, and products. And I use the past tense, was going great guns, because I don't know how it's doing since I last talked to you in April and how the pandemic has affected it.
Yeah, that's my real job. I tell people my full-time job is Rio Nuevo, but my real job is helping the university commercialize tech. And the COVID probably cost us a year and a half. The university was closed. The labs were closed. You know, our inventors were at home. You know, you need to be in your lab. Things are gearing back up as the university has reopened. This university is very prolific in terms of research and patents. We're now 28th in the world, from nowhere in the world, in terms of patent and startup activity. So we're pleased to be involved, and I think you'll see some great things come from our ability to take research to the market.
One thing you had talked about before with this is some research being done on a substitute for a non-addictive painkiller. Is that moving along through the pipeline?
I mean,
would be like the gold. I don't know what. I mean, if you were to be whoever come up with that, make a ton of money and really would be, think of the lives that could be changed.
Yeah. That's a long road. It has to go. It's efficacious in rats. That's just the only trials that's had.
Rats don't get addicted.
And I asked them, how do you know a rat hurts? And they said, well, we probe it with something sharp. Ooh. And they flinch.
Uh-huh.
So after we give them our medication, we probe them, they don't flinch.
Oh.
So we know it affects pain, and we'll give them doses of it for several weeks and then take them off of it, and they don't withdraw.
Mm.
So we have, at the U of A, a painkiller that's non-addictive.
Yes.
And as strong as morphine.
Wow.
Now, that's probably 8 years before it'll get to the market, but this next step is to go into larger animals and then ultimately human trials.
Well, we hope the little animals, Sarah, are not being harmed in any way, you being a friend of some little creatures.
Yes.
Don't you have a couple of baby rats?
I have two mice right
now. Mice. Okay, Sarah, how about back to downtown or whatever you want to talk about?
Well, I'm curious what is the faculty role in the invention, and do they receive payment for their inventions? Is it owned by the U of A? What is that?
That's all changed in the last 4 years. Historically, faculty here could not benefit from their patents. And places like Ventana Medical that started out at the U of A, they literally had to leave in order to advance their technology. Now, the faculty, the university will file for the patent on your behalf, and they will keep a percentage interest in the patent's monetization. Typically around 5%. So it's very much encouraged now to invent. The university will help you file for a patent. The university will keep a royalty stream if the patent is successful. And they've had a couple that have monetized. So there's a new level of excitement amongst the inventor faculty that they actually could create something ultimately that gets to the market. Purdue, Stanford, Michigan, and a lot of universities have been doing this for a long time. We've only been at it for about 3 years.
Let's talk about the entertainment scene downtown. Jackson Browne, I've talked to some people who went to the concert the other night downtown in a revitalized venue, right?
That's the silver lining for the TCC. We right. went dark in March, and we've used this year and a half to renovate everything. The music hall, as you said, has been totally renovated. It hasn't been touched since it opened November 6th of 1971.
Wow.
All new seating. Nothing's been done to it.
Wow.
So everything's new now. Wow. The carpet, the seats, the sound system, the acoustics behind the stage.
More seats added or just
kept? Same number of seats. We talked about putting a middle aisle, but it became problematic. So it's same number of seats, but they're now quite comfortable. Mm-hmm. If you sat in anything, they're 50 years old. There literally was no bottom.
Oh, my.
No bottom left to them. So we've renovated the X Hall. We've added 25,000 square feet of new meeting rooms. They're under construction now. We're building two garages. And very much fun for me, there's water back in the fountains. Hmm. So the first time probably in 20 years, mm-hmm. The fountains that were designed by Garrett Ekbo now are... The water features have been restored.
And why were they turned off? Does anyone remember?
Nobody. Well, they were problematic to maintain. They're yeah. basically swimming pools. Mm. So they have to be filtered and swept and cleaned mm-hmm. and chlorinated. And, you know, it was just easier to shut them off. So we've redesigned all that so they can function independently. And they've got water back in them. So people seem excited about it. We think it can become our Lincoln Center.
Sir, I got just one more on the entertainment. The Fox and is back up. They're got their a full slate.
Sold out.
Yeah,
the first show sold out.
What's the protocol? You wear masks.
The Fox and the Rialto have joined a group of independent venues across the country that require you to be vaccinated.
Okay, so they ask for that when you
have to. You have to demonstrate. You have to prove or upload. Before you can walk in the door that you have a vaccination certificate. Mm-hmm. A lot of venues around the country, the TCC's not done that yet. I think at Jackson Browne you had to be masked, but you didn't have to prove you were vaccinated. Mm-hmm. All the staff, the front of the house staff, the back of the house staff, the TCC staff had to be vaccinated per Jackson Browne, mm-hmm. but the audience didn't have to be vaccinated. And I think you're going to see that evolve over time. But the Fox, the first show was sold out, and the season seems to be doing really well. It was dark for a year and a half.
But Sarah, some people just aren't ready to go back to that.
That's very true.
You know, theater patrons who would love to go back, they just don't feel comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's it's good news that they're sold out. Although then, you know, we all sort of wonder like, well, is it safe?
Yeah.
How do you stay safe?
Yeah, is it a super spreader event? You
right.
know, I mean, we don't know. And the street festivals are coming back. Tucson Meet Yourself is scheduled. El Tour has been scheduled. So you're going to see in a theater, you can control the crowd. But what happens at an event like Tucson Meet Yourself, where you have tens of thousands of people congregating? Mm-hmm. You know, so most venue operators favor the economics over the health issues. Mm-hmm. We have to be open or we'll be out of business. So that was the decision the Rialto made. That's the decision the Fox made. And they're trying to manage the pandemic.
Then the entertainers, I'm sure they have their own set of protocols that...
A lot of them have canceled tours.
Right.
Others have very serious protocols.
Maybe the protocol with some of them would be that only proof of vaccination that they would want their audience to have that.
I think that's one of the reasons this network of smaller venues went that way, because now you can tour across the country from one venue to the next.
Kind of bubble to bubble.
Yeah, knowing that you have to have a vaccinated audience.
Mm-hmm. So we had Herb Stratford on the show, had a nice conversation with him about his days with the Fox and then his new venture. Which will be a performing arts area, Teatro Carmen, right?
Yeah.
About, I think, 350 seats, something like that he's working on. What's the deal with the Fox? Is that a fully paid-for theater now?
No. Rio Nuevo owns the building.
Okay.
We were leasing it to the Fox Foundation. We deferred the lease during COVID, and... You know, at some point we'll have to figure that out with them collectively. It was more important for us that it survive than we be paid rent, especially during the time it was dark. Ultimately, if you talk to the Fox Foundation, they would like to acquire the theater from us, and we would probably do that at some point in the future. Right now, we're just trying to help them sustain and get back open.
Is there quite a bit of money outstanding?
About $5 million.
Yeah.
Five of 15. The renovation costs were about 15. They still owe us five.
Sarah?
Along the lines of changes in downtown, I've noticed a lot more people who are homeless in the downtown area. I know it's been a situation and a challenge for many years, but I'm wondering if you're seeing that too, if there's a role for Rio Nuevo in services for people who are homeless, what's the situation?
We contribute to people that conversation, but it's outside of our scope in terms of any direct dollars or services. And it ebbs and flows. You will see people engage for a little while, and then there are services and food and transportation to shelters, and then that seems to disappear for a while. And you know, we're not nearly as bad as other communities, LA, Portland, San Francisco. You know, we haven't seen the tent cities that you've seen pop up in those cities. Ours tend to be more pedestrian, and as they wander around, and we're not necessarily sure where they sleep because they generally don't, you don't see people sleeping downtown, but they're around in the day, and the panhandling's gotten worse and more aggressive. Those of us that have traveled and seen other cities, we tend to be pretty relieved, actually, that it's not as bad as it is in some other cities. But it's something that all urban environments are going to have to deal with. The city council seems particularly focused on the houseless. And I think under Mayor Romero, you'll see continued efforts to try and do something for the disenfranchised.
So when does the tax increment district, when is that sunset?
Well, to everyone's surprise, in a pig's fly moment, we were originally designed to sunset in 2025.
Right.
And the Republican-controlled legislature has extended that now to 2035.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I said a pig's fly moment. Mm. And it's because of the economics. You know, we've produced, you know, $2 billion of economic activity, and ultimately that's what resonated with the Republican leadership.
Where's the, you talked about to the east, it goes out to the Elkhorn area?
All the way to Park Place.
To Park Place?
Yeah.
What about on the west?
All the way to Base of Bay Mountain. So the landfill that was the original Rio Nuevo, we own that. And the Mercado and Caterpillar, of course, we built Caterpillar's headquarters. All the way to the Base of Bay Mountain is Rio Nuevo owned.
So, go ahead.
Oh, I had a question with along those lines. The real estate market, you've talked about a lot of residential developers coming in. It is really expensive to try to live downtown. Is that something that is a concern for Rio Nuevo?
It has not been a concern for our developers. In fact, the highest rents in Pima County right now are downtown. They're about 2.25 square foot. So if you're leasing a 1,000 square foot apartment, it's $2,200 a month. And you can still get apartments elsewhere in Tucson for $700 a month. So, but it's attracting a millennial crowd. The demand's been very high. They're pre-leasing even at those levels. There's a lot of people moving to Tucson, you know, from California and places like that, where that's cheap from their perspective. So we don't see any slowdown of of demand on rental properties are rental rates.
Does that sort of change the character of, I've heard from longtime Tucsonans since Rio Nuevo started, that, you know, that it's not for Tucson. It's not for Tucsonans. It's people coming in, changing the character of downtown, and that it's a big shift.
One of the things that surprised me about the downtown renter, 50% of them are baby boomers. And that has shocked us. We thought it would be the young tech Raytheon employee, you know, Ubered everywhere. And there are those people. But 50% of them are retirees who have chosen to live downtown, to walk to restaurants, to walk to the symphony, to walk to the ballet. So you've got a nice mix. The Sunshine Mile work that we've just done is the first zoning overlay that incentivized affordable housing, not standalone affordable housing, but integrated affordable housing. So we're encouraging developers, and we've asked the city to help us incentivize developers to integrate some level of affordable rent in these new market rate apartments. Not that you have a market rate apartment and then a public housing. We don't want to go there, but you should be able to integrate those with some subsidy or incentives.
I'm just about out of time, but I have a Facebook friend who wants me to ask you about the TCC. It's more than a 50-year-old building. I think it was opened in the late 60s, right?
Most of it in the 60s, yeah. And then the other pieces in 71.
What is the future of it? Will it be torn down and a new facility built?
No, we just spent $100 million on it. The folly of the original Rio Nuevo was that they were going to build a new arena. You may have seen, I know, mm-hmm. the Star Ran story of the tortoise shell arena.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you know, 16,000-seat arena mm-hmm. on the freeway in mm-hmm. Congress. Of course, mm-hmm. that caved in on itself mm-hmm. because that became a $180 million project. Mm-hmm. You know, so we cannot afford, and I don't think this region can afford, you know, a new arena.
Is this a nice facility now, the redo?
It's beautiful. I mean, everything's been redone. It's modernized. We're spending about $10 million on tech. Right now, you can't get a wireless signal in the arena, but it's all going to go 5G, and wayfinding will be digital, and you'll be able to walk around the complex and follow an app that talks about the history of the barrio and even the pre-Hohokam ground that the TC sits on. So we're very excited about it. And the demand for it is up about 3X.
Wow. Okay, Fletcher, we got to let you go. The show must go on. We're going to be back with Sarah Garrett-Gass and talk with Sarah a little bit about what's coming up in the Sunday and Weekend Star. But Fletcher, thanks a lot. You look great.
Thank you.
Thank
Good
you
luck
very
with
much.
The arm.
Yeah, with the arm. It's the four-year anniversary. Four-year. It's felt like 4 years. Four-month anniversary of the disaster in Alaska for Mr. Buckmaster here. But I'm doing pretty well. The recovery, a lot of PT. Thank goodness for PT. You had a lot of PT.
I've just had my hip replaced.
For your hip, yeah. And you're walking pretty darn good.
I'm very happy.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you.
And we will continue on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news.
You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Sarah Garrett Gasson, opinion page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And it's great to see her again. We did, over the last 18 months, a bunch of phone interviews, and Olivia the Wonder Dog is not with you.
She is not.
Olivia's at home, just resting.
I hope so.
Not bothering the turtle, the tortoise?
Nope. Yeah. Nope.
All right, Sarah, what's coming up in the Star this weekend?
Well, we have a column from Jonathan Hoffman about the minimum wage, Tucson minimum wage proposal.
Which will be on the ballot.
Which will be on our city, Tucson city ballot on the election, general election's November 2nd, mail-out ballots go out October 6th. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing our endorsement interviews over Zoom and inviting people to join us. We've done that, you know, during the pandemic. And it's worked so well that we're doing it even though people can be face-to-face. Mm-hmm. So we have, over the course of next week, interviews about the Ward 3 candidates, Ward 6, the Proposition 410, which is the Tucson City Council and Mayor compensation, asking for more money for them.
Pay raises for the mayor?
Pay raises.
I didn't even know that was on the ballot.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe I shouldn't admit stuff like that since I'm supposed to be so well informed, but one of the reasons I do this show every day is to try to learn something, and I just learned my thing of the day.
Yeah, so we have, and that's an interesting proposal. Voters have shot down raises.
Oh, yeah, are you kidding?
But
they haven't had a pay raise in forever, I think.
I think it's at least 20 years.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
And but the interesting thing about this is that it wouldn't go into effect until a year or two from now. Mm. So it's not... You're not voting for a pay raise for this particular
group.
Mayor and council. Mm-hmm. And then it is, so that's a smart thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then they're tying it to inflation. It's a separate commission that comes up with these recommendations. It's not the council and mayor saying, give us more money. And then we have Prop 206, which is the minimum wage, trying to raise the minimum wage in Tucson to $15 by 2025. Mm-hmm. And so check out the startucson.com for the schedule on our upcoming Zoom chats. And we hope that lots of folks will join us and ask lots of good questions.
What's it been like working remotely for you? We kind of mentioned that during the interview with Fletcher, but
yeah.
There were good and bad things, right?
There were. I said often that I was the only human in my house, but I wasn't alone.
Right.
I'm very grateful for my little animal friends.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy working from home, but I really do miss the camaraderie of a full, active newsroom.
Yeah, it's just like during the height of the pandemic, we kind of went, like, for a couple of weeks there where we were all telephone interviews.
Mm-hmm.
I miss seeing people
on
the other side of the table, looking in their eyes, facial expressions.
Yeah.
Real important. Sarah Garrett-Gasson, always a pleasure, and all the best to you, okay?
Thank you.
All right, we're going to pause right here. It's Buckmaster in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. Matt Russell's coming up next. Let's find out what his top three weekend watch picks are. That's coming up right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. And here we go, kicking off the weekend. As that music, stir it up, baby. We're ready to stir it up for the weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to pile in the car or climb in the truck. Take the three-hour drive over to Silver City, and you will have yourself a beautiful weekend. I can guarantee it. And it will be cooler. I'm looking at some of those, the five-day, seven-day forecast, low 80s and around 50 at actually 79, upper 70s next week, and around 50 degrees for the overnight low. Autumn in the air over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for more information on where to stay and what to do. Here he is, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business / Tucson Weekly food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Hey, Matt.
Hey, happy Friday. You know, I was just telling Tom on the other side of the glass that I wish I could do my own stirring it up baby right now, but sadly, I have a few more hours left in my work day. Woe is me, Bill.
Yeah, I know. You've had a busy day. It's coming, though, very soon. Don't they say it's 5 o'clock somewhere in the world? Anyway, it's festival time here in the autumn, early, late summer, early autumn.
Yeah, it sure is. And this is certainly one of Arizona's most colorful festivals. It's the annual Arizona Pomegranate Festival. It's tomorrow from 8 a.m. to noon at Mission Garden. Now, this event will feature pomegranate growers and experts from all around Arizona offering samples of different varieties of pomegranates, including the Heritage White Pomegranate, which you might not be familiar with. Now, there's going to be all kinds of food demonstrations and kids activities. They're going to have an art show, speakers from the U of A, and of course, there'll be plenty of pomegranates for sale. It's tomorrow morning at Mission Garden near the base of Sentinel Peak.
Hey, is St. Philip still doing the Oktoberfest? Is that on for this year?
Break out the Lederhosen, Bill. As we know, you know, the traditional start of Oktoberfest is in September. And the St. Philip's Plaza Courtyard at River and Campbell is the place you'll want to be tomorrow at 7 o'clock p.m. for the official kickoff. There's going to be live music from the Bouncing Czechs. There's going to be specials on sausages and beers to hoist high in celebration of the season. And something they're calling the best of the worst, a sausage-eating contest.
What?
Live on the main stage. You know, as a sausage sophisticate myself, I think I'm ready to suit up and compete. So Oktoberfest starts tomorrow at St. Philip's Plaza.
There is a big fat one with your name on it over there.
I'll take a double.
What's going on with the chef, Chef Chic?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to believe that Tucson's Iron Chef Wendy Gauthier, a.k.a. Chef Chic, you know, she started her catering business 2 decades ago right here in Tucson, and she's planned a 20th anniversary party at her restaurant that she's inviting all of us to. It's Sunday from 11 to 4 at Chef Chic on Wilmot, just north of 22nd, and she's planned a cornhole tournament, face painting for the kids, and in true Chef Chic style, complimentary tastings of her most popular dishes. Complimentary, that means free, Bill.
Yes.
Beverages are going to be available for purchase as well next door at the Monkey Bar. I say swing by Chef Chic on Sunday, have some award-winning cuisine, and wish Wendy a happy 20.
Bring your appetite this weekend. Thank you, Matt. Have a great one.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music by our friend Chris Stefan. Thanks to Rose Brandt, who's been with me many years, making sure all those podcasts up in a timely fashion. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing. The entire team at Bustos Media. All of us, the same wish. Great weekend, everybody.